Now, while I was going, now Jacob ran away because he was scared of his brother, because his brother threatened to kill him. And he ran away for about 15, 14 years until he got two wives and he bore sons. All right, now Jacob is the third father of Israel. He is Israel, as a matter of fact. But he is the third succession in the line. When anybody speaks about Israel, they always talk about our fathers, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. All right, now Jacob, after he got his wives and his children and got rich, and, you know, Jesus told him to go home. Now he went home. He started going home. And he got to the border of his house, and he was afraid that his brother would come kill him. They done told him his brother's coming out to see you. And he got afraid. Now God's done told him to go home. All right, now when he gets there and he starts getting afraid, and he's probably thinking to himself, oh no, what's my brother going to do to me? He's coming, he's bringing 300 men with him. He's going to hurt me, he's going to kill me. So he starts breaking up his children, his flocks, and he sends one way and he sends the other one another way. Now my point here is, he's not doing the will of God or going the way God told him to go back home. He is fighting God. And it says it, and Jesus comes down and he grabs a hold of him. This is Jesus that he's fighting with. Because he changes his name. Asks him, well, who are you? And he says, I am the man who changes your name to Israel. Now, I'm just paraphrasing because I was trying to break this down. All right, now he's not going away. Now Jesus come down and he fought with him. And he finally gave in to Jesus. He finally said, all right, whatever you want. And what happened? His brother did not hurt him. His brother actually told him he didn't want his riches. He fell and hugged him and kissed him. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. But Jacob thought he was going to break up Israel. God, if he would have broke up that, not went home, Israel might not have came apart. All right. Now, number two. It's the truth. Brother McDaniels, please. All right, number three, he says, I'm the truth. Now, Jesus has been walking, you know, amongst us for, you know, 33 years. These last 3 years, he has been talking to him, I come to do my Father's will. All right, and he's telling him, I am the only way to get to heaven. I am here to be God's sacrifice for you. He tells him all the way through this. And people do not listen to him. The scribes, they hear him, but they don't believe him. You know, and this, I use this part right here is because they're not listening. God, you know, Peter drew a sword and cut off his ear. That is, you know, and Jesus healed that man. Now I want you to think, that man came to lay his hands on Jesus and take him away. All right? And Jesus healed his ear. What do you think he did then? He probably stopped and went home. Because he just got a miracle performed on him. Now I'm getting to a point here. Brother McDaniels, three, please.
Acts 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Now, number three. God, now we all know Saul. Saul was just a ruthless man, killed people. Just got done watching Stephen be stoned. Went to the Pharisees and asked for more or less warrants to bring anybody in that believed in Jesus. But yet Jesus shined a light on him and changed him. At that time, Jesus took his eyesight from him. Now, Jesus took his eyesight from him and he said, Lord, what would I do? What would you have me to do? He changed his attitude right then and there. He changed right then and there he became a servant of God. Now, these three people I want you to think about. All right. We done said, Jacob, God touched his thigh and put it out of joint. God cut off that ear of that man. And then he took the eyesight from Saul. Think about this for a second. Now, with this Jacob, every time he walked, he always remembered about fighting God. He always remembered. Every time he took a step, he couldn't go without thinking about it. Now, the man with his ear cut off. Every time he got an earache or his ear scratched, he couldn't forget about the day that Jesus put his ear back together. Now Saul, when he changed his life, and he got his eyesight back, how do you think he looked upon the world? He probably started looking at the sky differently. He probably started looking at just people differently. We know that he started serving God. Now, this is as a Christian's life. Who are you fighting? Are you listening? Or are you enjoying what God has for you? Do you see the blue skies? Now, if you don't know, if you're fighting God, all you have to do is give it up.
Amen.
That's all you have to do is Jacob gave up and said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. All right, if you don't listen to God, just open your ears. That's how, you know, that man opened his ears and started listening, and from that day probably he's saved. All right, now as we walk with God and he changes our lives, you change your way you look at people anymore. When you finally give up to God and give everything to him, you change the way you look at it. You see the sun different. You see everything different. It's more, I guess, glorious. Just more pleasant. You get more joy in life just watching people, you know, and serving God. Now, if you don't know where you're at, there's an altar here later. Just come down here and ask.
Well, first, I want to tell you about an incident that happened before I read in Luke chapter 19. It's about a blind man, and Jesus is entering into Jericho, and I'm sure the blind man heard the name Jesus being called out by the people, and he cried out saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. Now in Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Now the word press means crowd, not the media. Because he was little of stature, and he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for so much he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. There may be people here that are lost, not so much from their parents or friends, but they're lost from God. They're separated from Jesus. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a tax gatherer. He worked for Rome. He was a rich man. He was a despised man. He was a social outcast. People did not like tax gatherers that were gathering taxes for a foreign country that ruled over them. And if Jesus considered public opinion, he would have never glanced at Zacchaeus. But Jesus never considered public opinion. And through the scriptures, Jesus made himself no reputation. I imagine it's been months since anybody came across Zacchaeus' path, but he was hated. But curiosity got the best of him when he wanted to see Jesus. I imagine that he heard about Jesus. I imagine that he heard the names, the many names that people call Jesus. And some of those names people called him the devil, Some people called him a blasphemer. Some people called him a heretic. Some people called him a prophet. Some people called him an imposter. And many of them called him the Son of God. And naturally, Zacchaeus tremendously curiosity to see Jesus. Let me give you an example. I've been looking on Yahoo and reading the news, and I see stories about the Pope. When the Pope comes to town, thousands of people come to see him. Why? Well, out of curiosity. But to see Jesus, Zacchaeus had some obstacles in the way. For instance, the press of the crowd. The Bible says he was a small stature. To push his way through the crowd was impossible because everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. Many of you like to get close to Jesus and like to have Jesus in your heart and like to have Jesus for salvation, but you face many obstacles. What are some of those obstacles? Pride. The Bible tells us that pride keeps more people from Christ than any other sin. In James 4:6, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In 1 Corinthians 3:18, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Jesus said that we ought to be like little children so we can be converted. And if you want to know Jesus and have Jesus in your heart, you will be wise, but you must be a fool first. We are all proud and we don't like to humble ourselves. The second reason is idolatry. Idolatry is a sin that keeps many away from God. We worship ourselves. We become gods ourselves. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible says that idolaters shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. God hates idolatry. The third reason that keeps us from Christ is worldliness. In Mark 8:36, for what shall a man profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Matthew 16:26, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There may be people here today that are selling just a little bit of their eternal spirit for a little bit of this world. And there's many more obstacles. And today we have that opportunity to leave those obstacles that we may be dealing with right here at this altar. Now let's look at Jesus. As Jesus is walking into Jericho, there's people all over, and he's walking by and he sees Zacchaeus in this tree. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. That tells us right there that Jesus knows our name. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the shepherd, and he knows all his sheep by name. And throughout the Bible, God calls Adam. In the garden, he says, Adam, where art thou? He calls Moses. Jesus calls Simon Peter. He calls him. He calls John. He calls Matthew, another tax gatherer. That being said, he wants to have a relationship with us. But it's on our part we want that relationship with him. All right.
Number 453, stand, stretch your legs for a minute. Boy, it's been good so far. Hymn number 453. Then we'll have Brother Dylan come, and then Brother Alan Keeler. And then I'll take care of the invitation. But sing out tonight. Think about what you've heard already. Messengers are kind of running together. He's saying something here tonight. Think about it.
They call me old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. Jesus who lived among men long ago is divine and the Christ of God.
Father, we love you. We thank you for the messages that have already been preached. Lord, help us to retain those things in our heart. Lord, bless the next two as they come and speak to us again. Lord, we just thank you for your blood and the old time religion that we get to enjoy here tonight. Bless us, we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Dylan.
I appreciate the sermons that have been preached. I've been challenged to do some of those things. And I'd like to go to prayer. I know we just prayed, but let's pray again. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you, God, for this day. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just give me the words to say, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll just inspire your people, Father, what you inspired me with your scripture, Lord. And just I pray, God, we challenge with this message, and I pray and ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If y'all don't mind, I've been working with children all day, so I want some response back sometimes when I'm preaching to you guys. That's how you know people are paying attention, is they're saying something back to you. So if you want to say amen or something, go ahead, amen with it, but don't distract me with it, because that would be too much if y'all saying it all at the same time. But anyways, it's amazing how he went to Luke 14, Brother Lynn went to Luke 19, because I'm going to Luke 16. So if we'll go to Luke 16, verse 20, Luke 16, verse 20. We're talking about Lazarus and the rich man that was in hell. Well, I want to start and begin with it. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, What is very shocking right here is God just showed us that hell is real.
Yeah.
If you believe hell is real, I want you to say amen with me.
Amen.
Now we understand that we have a real matter in our hands. That God is not just playing, oh, maybe for good, for bad. No, it's either hell or glorious heaven with me. And that rich man finally realized it. He finally saw, this is where my sin leads me. This is where I belong because I've done wicked in my life. Though we all done wicked, but God can save us. But let's look on down with verse 24. And he said, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may just dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You see, when we get there, I hope none of us get there, but when the rich man got there, he realized all of a sudden he needed that mercy. All of a sudden he needed God. That was number one in his life at that moment. Was I need God. I need someone to take me away from this torment. What he's talking about right there. He was looking for mercy. He wanted to find safety. He wanted peace. He wanted hope in his life. There was no hope. He was just wanting a drip of water. And sadly, Abraham said, well, we can't do that. We can't do that, rich man, because this is your time in torment. You know, I wish that, you know, probably God's going to do this to me or something, but I wish I could see hell so it could just revive something in me. So I can go out and tell people about Jesus. So that I can tell people that there is a hell, that it is real. Now, I know it's real. It's a real place. But I want us to look at Luke 16:26, and it said, besides this, after he told him that, besides this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. And he finally realized, you know, in hell there is no way out. And his first thought that came to his mind, we'll read on down, was his family. And let's look at what it says. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He realized he couldn't get out. So he's like, well, send someone to my father's house. I don't want them here with me. I don't want them in this torment. And he said, for I have five brethren. And he had testified unto them, lest also came into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know, the first thing, it's amazing that someone in hell wants someone on earth to be saved. Someone in hell was longing so much to have mercy. He's like, well, if I can't have it, then let them have it. Let them. He's like, I can't do that. If one were to raise from the dead, they're not going to listen anyways. Because they blinded themselves with riches, with the world, with whatever it may be. But this man cared for his hell. He wanted one to just go to his family to know that hell is for real. But God is concerned for man. He is very concerned for man. God says in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who with all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And I love that. It says all men. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've gone, what your past, where you. God wants you to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. If you're a sinner all your life and you died on the cross right next to God, he still wants you to be saved. Just as the thief on the cross died with him, he got to go to heaven. Praise God for that. But God doesn't want anybody going to hell. Hell wasn't meant for us. In Matthew 25:41, it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for us. God didn't make that place for mankind. But since we sin, we have to obey God's rule that for the wages of sin is death. Let me get a drink. All right, thank you. But not just the rich man, wanted people to get saved on earth, but those in heaven wanted to go to hell to bring them out. Let's look at 26 again. It says, besides this, between us, you and there, there's a great goal fixed to they which would pass hence to you cannot. See, they would. They wish they could. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have gone to heaven. They're like, I wish I knew this was more real in my life. I wish I could have told my family, these people. And God's like, well, the plan's already played out. You're already seeing it. What you've done is already sowed. It's going to be reaping time now. And that's what we need to realize, is that not only the rich man wanted people out of hell, people in heaven wanted people out of hell, Jesus wanted people out of hell. And those three should have a burden in our own hearts. We ought to carry their own burden with us. But sadly, there's a lack of care among us today. There is, with myself, with us. We just get busy doing things in our life. We forget to say, hey, don't you know Jesus? Don't you want to get to heaven? We forget to say that. And it's because of our lack of concern, people slip into hell for those reasons. But I want to look at this. Luke 16:29. This is our hope that Abraham told for the people on earth. He said, Abraham saith unto him, they have, I want you to just put, they have us. I know they had Moses and the prophets. They had us. Amen. Can I buy 10 minutes, brother? I don't know. I just want to finish it, brother. Can I? All right. I'll hurry, okay? But he said, you know, they have, you know, whoever it may be, let them hear. They have us to hear. We need to go into the world and tell them. The world has us. Only us can tell them about heaven and hell, those who know about it. I wish we would be more concerned as those who were in heaven and hell, and in Jesus was. And in 1 Corinthians 15:34, Peter or Paul even talks about this. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak of this of your shame. Sadly, we're not awake today. We're not awake to see those who are going to hell. We don't see that it is a shame to us that they don't have the knowledge of God. We have it. We just, oh, I don't want to, it's mine. I'm glad I'm saved, right? It's the happy closet Christian type of way, and it bugs me that I'm that way. You know, I know we need to do more, but we need to be a witness wherever we go. All right.
Well, I am amazed that God goes ahead and controls even the preach fest. My message comes from Luke chapter 21. In verse 7, I have two verses. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? I wish to go through some of the signs and some of the things that you have been seeing in the news and on television. Many shall come and say that I am Christ. There's a guy out there, and he says that he's Jesus Christ. We were watching him on television, and his followers are tattooing 666 on their bodies. Now, he's obviously, he may be called Jesus Christ, but he's not the Christ. But it is a sign of the time. And many there are that are following him. Wars and rumors of wars. Yesterday or last week, the Russians went ahead and flew two backfire bombers and a couple of fighters and a tanker, and they flew it close to the United States. Now, they have a range that within 200 yards, we go out to see who it is. If they come within 200 miles, but if they come within 12 miles, we shoot them down. And they're just probing to see how far they can go before we go ahead and do anything. That's a rumor of war. Over there in the Middle East, we've got ISIS. We've got people that are beheading other people, fighting and killing constantly going on. Nation rising up against nation. We've got people who want to kill our people. They're over in Mexico, and we all know how secure our borders are down in Mexico. We hear that our border patrol does not even go ahead and stop the people, but they just take them over to relocation centers. And men come over and say, well, what are we going to do about stopping? He said, I don't know. I don't care. We're not supposed to do anything. Nations rising against nations. Terrorists over there. Earthquakes in diverse places. Prior to 1900, there were only 8 major recorded earthquakes. Now there are hundreds every year. And not just earthquakes, but great earthquakes. Earthquakes that shatter cities and hundreds and thousands of people are killed. All signs of the last days. Famines increasing. You may not know this, but the bees that pollinate the flowers are dying off. And they got some sort of a virus. I guess the only ones that are doing okay are the killer bees. But you can't go ahead and eat food if you can't harvest crops. And you can't harvest crops if the bees haven't pollinated them. Pestilence. Do I need to tell you about how horrible Ebola is? Sierra Leone was locked down, the entire city locked down. Basically, that means that if you get caught outside, they shoot you. They do not want to pick you up and arrest you. They just shoot you. And that, we're sending our soldiers over there to protect the health workers. Pestilence increasing. Fearful sights and signs in the heavens. Well, I'm not going to go into detail about that, but there's people out there that are constantly worried about asteroids coming by and hitting the earth and destroying it. And you've probably seen it. Christian persecution. They're beheading Christians. I don't know why they feel that they should do this, but this is what they... And they're not a religion. They just hate. That's all it is. They just hate. Hated. Jesus said we would be hated by all men for being Christians. Jerusalem will be compassed by armies, and the Jews will be scattered until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. May I tell you, that's just about done. The Jews have been gathered together again. They're always referred to in the Old Testament as a fig tree. And the fig tree is putting out leaves. And we begin to see that the Jews are trying to find a safe haven on this earth. And it's going to be Jerusalem. The sea and the waves roaring. All of creation is terrified and watching what's going on. They're predicting that our economy is going to fall. Wall Street's going to crumble. You're going to see that the monies that we have put away for things like Social Security are going down, and everybody is worried, and they're all running around pulling their hair out going, ah, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But we are not like everybody. We are the chosen, the sons and daughters of the living God. My second verse is down over in hold on a second. I got to find it again. My second verse, it says in verse 28. Now listen carefully. Sometimes you can read a verse and you won't see it. And he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's not going to set foot on this earth until he takes what is precious to God off of it. And what is precious to God are his children. He's coming back like a thief in the night. And he's bringing the souls and the spirits of those who have believed in God with him. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will put on brand new that will never wear out bodies. And then we which are alive shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Instantly. Now think about that. You know, Sally's going to get a chance to see her mom, her dad. I'm going to see my grandfather, who's a Christian. You all have people that have passed on in your life that you know were Christians, and they're coming back. But you know, the greatest, precious, and most wonderful thing is that when we get up there and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be wearing white robes. I got a story about that. But when we see Jesus Christ, when we see the King of Kings, when we see the God of all glory that loved us and gave himself for us, that is going to be something. I can't wait. I'm getting so sick and tired of this stinking society and planet that we're living on. People massacring or killing cops. People angry because just of the color of your skin. It's getting worse and worse down here. But we can look ahead and see. Thank you, brother. That means I get one more minute, right? Yes. So we can look ahead and we can see our city, our country, that new Jerusalem. And you know what? My king is going to be in there with God the Father, and he's going to light up the entire place. We've got mansions, no more ranch houses. No more mobile homes, no more apartments, mansions. Amen. I don't know how long it takes to clean them. But that is what we have to look forward to. So my counsel to you is, when you listen and hear all of the garbage that's going on, then stop and look up, because your redemption is getting very, very close.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, praise God. There was a progression in those messages tonight of faith moving you forward into some things that will happen to you and God will do in your life that you'll never be able to forget. And you'll start leaving some obstacles behind. And you'll start waking up to the need to tell other people about Christ and what He's done. Why? Because He's coming soon.
Amen.
He's coming very soon. Let's all stand. I can't add anything to that. The Spirit's already done His work. Whatever God's dealt with you tonight, the altars are open. Let's begin to have some piano playing. I'll go ahead and pray real quick. Father, we thank You for the messages. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. We thank You for working through Your preachers tonight and giving them exactly what we needed here tonight. Now, Lord, help us to be faithful with what You've given us. Help us to humble ourselves before You. Help us to obey You. And Lord, we look forward to Your return. But Lord, so many, when You return, it'll be too late for them. And I pray, God, that You'd make us faithful servants for You until that day. Deal with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith strengthened tonight just to step out and move forward. Maybe you just need to go back and be reminded of some of the things that God's done for you, done in your heart, that can encourage you and pick you up. Maybe there's something holding you back that we need to leave behind tonight. You can leave it at the altar. He'll take it. Maybe you just need to make a decision to be faithful with the giving out of the gospel this week. Christ is coming back. He's coming to get us. Hopefully it won't be too late for that loved one, that friend, that co-worker. When is it? Hymn number 161, if you'd like to sing. Let's sing that last verse. Messages tonight. Thank you, men, for preparing and for putting that effort in and doing what God called you to do with your life. Always work on that. Never turn down an opportunity to preach. Amen. That's a good rule, and it'll help you learn and grow, and praise God for a pastor who will continue to put these kind of things in to help our men get used to preaching and get good at it. And thank you for being an encouragement to them tonight. You know what? If you weren't encouraged by the word tonight, then there's something wrong, and I'd check up on that because they did a wonderful job. Thank you, men. Is there any announcement that we need to make before we leave tonight? All right, take a moment after we get through and just hang around and fellowship with one another. It was good to be in the house of the Lord today. God was with us and spoke, and continue to be in prayer for Miss Mary's recovery, Brother Best's recovery, Miss Mona Williams as well. She is home now from her surgery, but be in prayer for her. She had a blockage of an artery that they took care of, and she's recovering at home now. Please pray for her. Then our pastor as well in their travels, and continue to remember them. Miss Ruth, when is your surgery? Okay, we're gonna take a different route. Pray for Miss Ruth and the comfort of her getting around, and for God to heal her and help her and strengthen her. All right, let's ask God to bless us as we dismiss tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you again for meeting with us today. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, you fed me tonight, and I thank you. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as a church and as Christians, to go out and minister, to go out and make a difference in someone else's life, to share the gospel, and just to continue to have that sight that you give, Lord, to see others as not just people in the way, but, Lord, as souls, and to remember that hell is real. And Lord, if we don't do something about it, who will? God, help us, strengthen us, grow our faith as we watch you use us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.